Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Thursday, the 20th of January's version, iteration of the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, one of the hosts of this show, and Luke Miller has joined me.
How you doing, brother man?
Thursday. You all right, man? Have a good week? You feeling good?
Yeah. Still doing too bad.
It's been all right this week, hasn't it? There's been some lovely, where I come from and live and reside and exist, there's been some lovely sunsets and some lovely sunrises.
I've seen that on various social media accounts around that part of the world. Very nice. Makes you glad to be alive. And then makes you happy.
It does. When I drove in this morning as well, it's stunning. It looked like something on, like, out of Star Wars or Star Trek or something. You know, when they go down to a planet and there's a beautiful kind of like red, yellow, a milky blue north. And then there was like these, where these cranes were on the side of like an industrial complex, you couldn't see the top of the cranes because it was just so much mist. So it was a combination of mist and sun. It's so lovely and so evocative.
And that's why I drove into the back of that car, obviously.
you talked about this before, but goodness me, you've got to put a lot of de-icer all over your bloody window to make the ice go away. I had no idea.
Happened to us driving back from Boston Airport once. Mm. A guy drove into the back of us. The sun was like really low and I just don't think you could see what was going on.
Yeah, what is it? What is the... Because I was talking to somebody about this. Like, you just have to just give them your phone number and sort it out later.
Yeah, you have to exchange details.
There's a lot of risk involved.
Insurance details and stuff.
Yeah, but the car will be registered. You're trusting people, aren't you?
No, because if you've got the
the reg
number, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I don't know.
Some people try to do the old keep this between us.
Let's keep this between us.
I'll give you £500 now.
Yeah,
and you don't tell the insurance people because people are worried about losing their no claims. I'm probably legally bound to say that that's a crime. I don't know if it is. I'm sure it probably is.
I think it is probably a crime. Yeah.
So crimes happen all around you all the time. Get used to it.
Is no claims a big deal? Because if you lose your no claims, it's...
just get cheaper premiums,
big
mate.
Big papa's house for the rest of the time that you're driving.
I think I'm packing about 7 or 8 years no claims.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Am I getting a better deal from that? I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I assume I am.
Probably not.
Yeah. I drive my car once a week to take the wife I have access to ice skating, and that's it.
That is very wholesome.
Yeah.
Very wholesome.
Yeah. Did you
Where
see
Where is
that?
It? Where's the ice skating?
It's only in Streatham.
Oh.
But it's a little bit of a
Russia.
An edgy walk. Yeah. Bit of an edgy walk. So,
bit of an edgy walk. Well, where is it? You're on skates?
Yeah, I said to her, put them on when you get there.
Put them on when you get there, for crying out loud.
Speaking of that, have you seen, you probably won't have seen this, but it amused me, that, you know, Dancing on Ice is back.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Yeah. Okay. Right. Cool.
Guess who's involved?
Mr. Blobby.
Bez.
Bez, good God!
So explain to our listeners who may not know who Bez is.
A drug-addled dancer. At least he's technically a dancer, I suppose. He's dancing on ice now.
First contestant in history to have to wear a helmet.
You're kidding me?
Does that tell you everything you need to know about whether he's technically a dancer or not?
Wowzers!
So it was quite funny because for those who don't know, those who are young or in America or whatever. The Happy Mondays were a band around the late 80s, early 90s, did this kind of acid-infused, like, dance kind of, whatever, I can't really call it now, baggy kind of music, right? So, there's a famous song I've got called Step On, and the refrain is, "You're twisting my melon, man," right? Yeah. That's what they say, "You're twisting my melon." And Bez did this shit, and he had a helmet which was like a watermelon.
Right.
Lots of watermelon slices came on and danced with him.
Okay,
and they did it two Step On, and Sean Ryder rode the Zamboni.
It's a Zamboni, the ice clearing thing. Beautiful.
Sure, Roddy was there.
I'm
no
there
reason for it.
Supporting him.
Everyone else has got their wives and families there. He's got Sean Ryder there.
Those two are very good on Gogglebox, I always think. They're a good duo.
It's kind of interesting when you to think of...
It's the proto-Luke and Pete show.
It is a bit.
Bez and Sean.
Less drugged. It is a bit... What's interesting though, Pete, is to think about... no, less drugged from them, I said.
All right.
To think about what characters that you never possibly thought would be possible to do this have come have been re... Kind of almost
repackaged.
Repackaged like national treasures.
Well, because they were kind of like outlaws back then, weren't they? They were like naughty boys who would just refuse to do what the record company tells them. Now they're very much.
But you know what I think's happened? The people who are now decision makers at big TV networks, for example, are older.
Yeah.
And probably love them.
Yeah.
And we're like, they're fucking great.
I can't believe we can afford these.
Yeah, that's Bez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's fucking Bez. And they're all these like 20 somethings in the office going, fuck is this bollocks?
But he is great value. Like, on it, he's really, I mean, a few questionable issues in his private life, but that's probably not for me to say.
Right.
But on the show itself, people seem to absolutely love him.
Yeah.
But then here's my fear for it. I'm not a Dancing on Ice aficionado. My wife massively loves ice skating, so she'll watch all that kind of stuff. It's like ice skating is like one of her real interests, so she'll watch it because I guess it's the only real time you get to watch any kind of ice skating on telly.
Yeah.
But anyway, my fear for him is this, right? What's he going to do next week? No one else knows any other Happy Monday songs, really.
That's true, actually.
So what's the refrain going to be?
Are there any ice skating? Let's have a look. Happy Monday songs.
Oh, there's loads of songs like Loose Fit and all that kind of stuff.
Loose Fit?
Like, yeah.
You better tie up them laces because you lose your skates. Yeah.
He had elbow pads on. He had knee pads on. I reckon he skated for a total of about 15 meters.
Right. Okay.
So it was funny, but I don't know if it's got much longevity in it.
Kinky Afro. They'll probably play that, won't they? And Hallelujah. They've got enough tracks for a 6 week run, I think.
I don't think anyone got kicked off the first week either, so I think he's still in it. But it was funny. Like, one enjoyable of the things about those reality shows, whether it be Dancing on Ice or Strictly or whatever, is it unfair that like you get people on there who've clearly got some massive theatre background?
They've got some training of blocking and dancing and performing effectively.
Like, on Strictly Come Dancing, if you are someone who's been to like theatre school or whatever, or you've been in the West End, I mean, is that the same as like Bill Bailey? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Bill Bailey won it.
John Sargent. Was it
exactly.
Sargent?
But you always have a comedy character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the office. He was in this very seat, I think, possibly.
John Sargent. Yeah, he was. Yeah,
doing a show, and he was, and it made me laugh because, like, you know, the people in our office, our colleagues in our office who are in their 20s, don't really know his work other than his work on Strictly, which amused me terribly. Well,
we had a situation where we were at some awards thing with the guys, and they're obviously all a bit younger, as you say, and there was a guy there. In his 60s, I can't remember his fucking name now, but basically, he's a really well respected investigative reporter of like 40 years standing at the BBC. And when I saw him,
Roger Cook,
it wasn't Roger Cook, no. When I saw him, I was like, oh man, it's
that dude,
it's cool, right? Yeah. When they saw
sounds
him,
sounds like you really made an impression on you.
I can't remember his name, which is undermining my point. But when they saw him, they were like, look, it's waistcoat. Look at that! Like,
but it is though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, unless people have a hold on what you are, it's kind of like you're just a ridiculous character.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have bought some new trainers.
Yeah, I just saw those. Talk me through those. You've taken a lot of influence from Vish and Andy Brassel on the Ramble, aren't you?
I cannot.
Aren't you?
I'm enjoying. Definitely Andy. I'm not sure what Vish's trainer situation is. Vish is because he does a lot of working out. And playing a lot of football, he is inspirational in that area. And Andy Brassel is inspirational in the trainer area.
Well, what inspiration exactly are you taking from Vish?
I wish I could do that.
Well, that's not inspiration, is it?
Yeah, I'm not doing
it's basically
it.
Jealousy.
No, I'm going
internalised jealousy is what
should
you're talking
get
about.
Around to doing that, shouldn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah. When people say about, you know, what really inspired me to become a mountain climber, you know, Edmund Hillary. You have to be a mountain climber to be able to say that. You can't just say, I saw that and thought I'd really like to be one day and never
really,
done
Max
it.
Max Verstappen has really, really influenced my F1 career.
Yeah.
He really has, Luke.
Yeah.
But you got, but on eBay, I didn't realise, you send them to, and I didn't write this on the running guard, some you did, saying you wanted to talk about my lovely trainer.
Oh, well,
maybe I'm just confused.
It's Rory.
But yeah, I've bought some trainers on eBay. And you don't get them directly from the seller anymore because there's so many counterfeit sort of shit out there. They've got to be sent to a third party. Then they get sent to you. So the third party is eBay's trainer guy or gal. Probably a guy, let's face it.
What a job.
And they just look at the trainer and go, is this an authentic bit of kit? Plastic?
I had a job like that at the bank. They'll tell you that.
What, checking banknotes?
No, it was...
With a little pen that goes black if it's wrong.
No, so I was in the call centre, right? And one of my jobs was I had to sit, if I was on that particular shift.
Mm.
That is interesting, by the way, about the trains. I didn't know about that. Mm. I'm frightened of eBay. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But in this bank, I had to, if I was on this particular shift, I'd sit in this little office with maybe 50 massive ring binders, right? Yeah. And when the phone rang, it would be someone from a branch around the UK, and they'd say, someone's trying to open an account, and they're using a passport for identification purposes.
Yeah.
And I think because of money laundering or fraud legislation or something, you had to be able to authenticate that passport.
Mm.
And it was quite a specialised job.
Mm.
And where you needed it was you had to... So basically, I'd say to them, okay, what's their nationality? And they'd say, yeah, they'd say like Swedish or whatever.
Mm.
Okay, go under S, find the Swedish passport, and you have all the information about what
about
authentic
the
Swedish
passport
look
like.
For,
right.
So I would say to them, go to page 7, hold up to the light, and there should be an embossed eagle on the page.
Fascinating.
And then this bit should be perforated, the photo should be here, and if they've ticked off all the things, you could then authenticate it. So I actually had a similar job to that for a bit.
Nice. You're like a kind of, you're a big narc.
And that's where I got, that's when I got the tap on the shoulder from MI6. Like, this guy, you just see this guy around the ring binder.
Nowadays, though, if you like freeze your credit card or lose your credit card or like you want to do something with your credit card, you have to, or get a new PIN number, you have to re-authenticate every time. And so you have to film yourself going, hello, I'm Pete Donaldson.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Huh. Which isn't proof these days with all deep fakes and all that business.
I thought you could just with a debit card or whatever, you could just lock it until you found it again and unlock it again.
I think I did something recently where I had to take a picture of both sides of my driving license, and then I could have just been scammed and film a video going, "Hi, I'm Pete Donaldson, and I would very much like to re-up my my."
Was the URL of the bank spelt wrong?
I went through. I had one this morning from post office saying you got a package or whatever, and they go, "Is it what postcode?" And then so they send you to this link, and I was like, "Oh, beautifully put together scam," and you go, what's your postcode? And you write, "Farts, Jim Farts." And he goes, "Oh, we've got a package for Jim Farts." And it's like, no, you haven't.
You flipped
though.
On him.
You haven't, though.
You flipped on him.
I wanted to waste a little bit of their time
by wasting
on their
your
computer,
own time.
By wasting a lot of my own time.
But it's all right for you because you're part internet. You're across all this. I'm like Mr. Robot after my passport job.
Mr. Robot.
Some people aren't as au fait with it, are they? And what I mean by that is every so often, probably once a month, I'll show the Wi-Fi I have access to, something like that, and she'll go, "Yeah, that's a scam." No,
yeah.
Brilliant,
okay.
I'll do that.
You're not good with like viral videos and stuff where it's like it's either a bit of a fakey or it's kind of built on something.
Do you know what I have a problem with? I have a problem with...
I don't know why people make them. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
Why do they make them?
I think it's a shame.
It is a shame.
Yeah, you watch a show like that 4 or 5 part, I can't remember, documentary series about UFOs on Sky.
Mm.
And it's fucking brilliant. Like really well put together, really well done.
Mm. Who's made these videos?
But in terms of impact, when they're doing the opening montage of the different things people have filmed in the sky, I just think to myself, all of those could just be fucking CGI'd.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
That is a shame.
Because there is obviously some weird shit going on.
Mm.
And I'm obsessed with UFOs, but you won't let me talk about it on this show, so we don't talk about it very much because you find it boring. But
it is... I feel like an outsider. I feel like the alien, to be honest, when people start talking about UFOs, because people are fascinated by them.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's fascinated by magic, UFOs, planets, and I'm like, and planets aren't real.
Why don't you care about why don't you care about all this stuff?
I just think
Do you know that flat earthers don't believe that the planets are flat? They just believe that Earth is flat.
Oh, so
I'm being serious.
It's really kind of like...
So they don't argue that the planets aren't round.
Human exceptionalism.
Yeah, they argue Earth is flat.
Right.
I don't know
the other side. Is it just one-sided then?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Well, so they just believe there's one side of the Earth. What's on the underneath? Just rock?
They had to change it as well, because I think as science advances, they had to...
The science that they needed advanced about 2,000 years ago, Luke.
Yeah,
don't worry about that.
But ever
Galileo had this pegged.
But more and more proof comes along. Galileo wasn't around 2,000 years ago.
All right, that's right. Yeah,
I think it was a Greek philosopher, wasn't it, who worked it out first?
What out then? Come on, big man.
The Earth was round.
I'm going to say checking my Galileos.
I was going to say it's Archimedes. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, go on. Great computers.
Yeah, fantastic. And they were actually. They fucking were, actually. They used to play a lot of Command and Conquer on the Archimedes.
There was a polygonal game called Lander, I think, which is a demo for a bigger game on the Archimedes on the computer.
I had Lander.
Because BBC...
It's that little green craft, it just flew around. Yeah, it was cool.
The graphics were just kicking around at least 200, 300 polygons on the screen. It's a wonderful bit.
It was really
work.
Hard to fly it as well.
It was impossible. It was a terrible game.
Yeah.
Very graphically impressive.
But anyway... So basically, they patted themselves into a corner. I can't remember the detail. Mm. They had to then claim that Australia didn't exist right. and that it was all actors. And then they had to change it again to say it wasn't actually a disc, it was like a donut.
Why are they... They're just making it more complicated, aren't they?
It's almost like they don't never heard of Occam's Razor. but anyway, there's a couple of things I promised I'll talk about and that we've been waylaid. One is that I'm scared of eBay. I'll come on to that in a minute.
Okay.
Second is the UFO thing.
Yeah.
I can't believe that any... sentient adult human being isn't fascinated with that because it's the biggest question in history.
Mm.
It's the biggest issue in human history.
But it doesn't matter fundamentally. None of it matters.
It does matter.
Doesn't matter though, does it?
What did Arthur C. Clarke say? Either we're alone in the universe or we're not, and either eventuality is terrifying.
It's a lovely term. That's a lovely...
Yeah.
But he, to be fair, he's got a vested interest there because all he goes on about is fucking space, doesn't he?
Science fiction, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's basically feathering his nest there.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Asimov's rule for fucking robots. Well, yeah.
Yeah, you would say that,
You would
Asimov.
Say that. You're obsessed with robots, you perv. You big robot perv.
Do you reckon that's why? Because he was a perv?
Yeah, gotta be, innit?
Because you said to me, whenever you have like a lucid dream where you realise that you're in dream and you can do whatever you want, you're always just trying to have sex with things.
Yep.
Yeah, so do you reckon that... Well, whatever. I don't want to be a misogynist. But you know, it could be anything with you.
Yeah.
What do you think that drives a lot of these genius people's kind of ideas? Like, oh, he wants to just create the ultimate sex robot, as well. And Arthur C. Clarke wants to find the most amazingly attractive,
the most fuckable
aliens.
Planet.
Yeah.
What's the most fuckable planet? That's what Clarke's all about.
Yeah. Do you think that's the case? That underpins a lot of male activity.
The sea is cock.
The sea is cock. What do you mean?
Arthur C. Clarke. Arthur Cock Clarke. Didn't call him that for nothing, Luke, did they? Arthur Cock Clarke.
Yeah, true. That's a good point, actually. Yeah. Arthur Cock Cock is his real name.
Yeah.
What
Arthur was a famous film about a promiscuous man, wasn't it?
Arthur's a film about a guy who's got loads and loads of money, he can do whatever he wants.
Oh, okay, yeah, probably.
And is Michael Caine his butler? No, that's Batman. Someone's his butler.
Studley Moore, isn't it, Arthur?
It is, yeah, the original. Yeah. They remade it.
Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Jeez,
imagine Russell Brand in movies. I forgot about that.
He's back. He's back in the. They're
still
doing
find him.
So you remember the Orient Express? There was loads of massive actors in that. The Orient Express, Johnny Depp down effectively. And they're doing another one where it's another. Is it Christie? Did Christie do Orient Express? I can't remember anyway. But
who?
Agatha Christie.
Did you just say Christie? You could be anything.
I mean, there's not that many Christies around, is there?
Linford Christie. He's running alongside it.
Yeah, but like, Murder on the Express. I don't think it was Christie. But anyway, that film was like one of those ones where they get this ensemble.
Agatha Christie is the novelist, okay. Yeah.
But did she write that book? But that film was just... it's one of those ensemble casts where it's just kind of like, how have they managed to afford all of these people?
Right.
They must sort of go to them and go, look, you're going to get 10% of the money you usually get, but this cast is fucking insane and you only have to do a day's work.
Yeah.
And then you're just in it.
We've just answered your own question,
have you? Well, yeah, I have, yeah. Sorry. So pound for pound, it's probably worth doing, I suppose. But they're doing a second one where it's on a boat and it's another famous book and it's another famous theatre play as well. And
it'll be on that one on the Nile. What's it called?
Yes, Murder on the Nile. Okay. It must be Christie. I think it's Murder on the Nile. Yeah, it's Christie. They've got the cast isn't that great. It isn't as great as the first one, but Russell Brand plays one of the characters.
Build up just to say that Russell Brand
is in a film.
You should have just said Russell Brand's in a new film.
All right, Russell Brand's in a new film.
What do you think of Russell Brand?
I think his behaviour, you got to be relatively careful, his behaviour in his past life, I'm surprised he gets quite so much rope.
It's not
his
past life, is it? It's very much his current life. Make it sound
that's a big
bit
question.
Spiritual.
Was Russell Brand reincarnated?
Let me ask you a few questions about the existence of aliens, just because I think our listeners want to hear it.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Mm. I'm going to make them up now. And you have to say yes or no to them about what you sincerely believe.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is alien life of any form elsewhere in the universe.
Yes. In the universe.
Yeah.
Universe. Isn't there a few universes?
We ain't got time for that now.
Right.
In this universe.
In this universe. How big is our... But this universe is quite small, isn't it?
No, no, you're talking about the galaxy.
Oh, right, sorry.
The universe.
Universe is everything.
Start big.
That we
universe
know.
Is everything.
All right, okay, yeah, fine. Yes.
Right, okay, yes. There is intelligent life elsewhere in the universe.
Yes.
Okay. There is intelligent life elsewhere in this the universe.
Room.
No. capable, in theory, of visiting this planet.
I just think they've got bigger things on.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I said, in theory, they're capable of it.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. But okay. They're just busy with other stuff.
Probably are. Loads of things on. Okay. Couple more questions.
Mm.
We have been visited by other intelligent life in the universe on this planet.
Yeah, probably, but we probably can't see it. So it may as well not exist.
Interesting. So different dimensions. So
it may as well not exist.
So you're into it as well then. You get it.
I'm not into it. I just find the whole thing tedious.
All right. Well, in that case, we're going to have a break.
I'm not saying that the people out there don't find it tedious. I'm just giving my opinion.
No, but what I'm saying
I'm thick. Remember, you've got to remember, I'm coming from the starting point that I am medically thick.
You're not thick.
I'm thick.
You just find it hard to focus. You're not thick. You just find it hard to focus.
Oh,
let's have a break.
Give me some tablets.
And when we come back, we're going to solve the... well, not solve, but we're going to reveal the results of our Aerolatte AA's battery poll from last week.
Nice.
It's a hot topic in the New Compete Show universe.
Certainly
we're going to reveal the result after this.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week, Clive Anderson is joined by comedian Stephen K. Amos on My Seven Wonders, the show where guests select their personal seven wonders of the world. Stephen discusses his fame down under, who inspires his comedy, and how he got on during lockdown.
My dad, early 80s, came to stay with me for 2 weeks of the lockdown. I had no idea, after all these years, that he is a twat. I had no idea, Clive, that the heating in my house could be set to lava. And I said to him, why is the heating on so high? And without skipping a beat, he just said, I don't pay the bill here. Now, this is the kind of thing I have to deal with.
Listen to My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You wanted to hear it. You wanted it to happen. It's time for Batteries on Thursday's edition of the Luke and Pete Show.
Yes.
And we've got one hell of a a set of circumstances, I'm going
to
say.
Are you going to do a drum roll on the table when I tell you to? Not yet.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So the poll results are in for Aero Latte AAs, the batteries, which happen to be named after the milk frother they were discovered in last week. And we asked the Luke and Pete Show community to decide because we thought it was a kind of either a legitimate new player for obvious reasons, or just ultimately a cheap marketing ploy of the type that we dismissed the Pittsburgh Steelers batteries, you know, the New York Giants batteries, etc. Yep. Right? So, the Luke and Pete Show community have spoken. They have decided the following. Here's the results of the poll that went on our Twitter page at Luke and Pete Show. Those deciding it was a new player, 25.3%.
Oh.
74.7% say it's a cheap marketing ploy. So by a landslide, Kellen, the original sender ring of the Aero Latte AAs, you are not a new player. I forgot about the drum roll. Forget about it. Doesn't matter. Do it now. Drum roll after.
I'm applauding. I'm not applauding him. I'm applauding
the
competition.
The people have spoken. Yeah. So unfortunately, Kellen, you're back to the drawing board. Mm. Find some more batteries. By all means, send them in. But we will not be accepting Aero Latte AAs. And those who are unhappy with that decision can email hello@lukeandpeacher.com to represent your case and let us know. Otherwise, we've got Brendan here. He's been in touch with, he says, are you going to do searching or do you want me to search?
I think I dipped out. Yeah, you do the searching.
Okay, you carry on. So pick it up from Brendan who sent some in.
All right. Brendan Malt Max. Not sure which bands of COVID rapid tests you have in the UK, but here in Australia, is the most common, I believe, is Hughes. This one had a UV flashlight included to read the results. It sounds very futuristic. Maybe that's why Australia is so good at their COVID outbreak. They've got UV lights included into
I've never heard of that before, have you?
I don't know why you'd need them. Very interesting.
To look for very, very faint positive signs, maybe.
Very faint positive signs.
Because you said when I had COVID, my first positive test was so faint I almost missed it.
Right, okay.
So maybe that's why.
Yeah, interesting.
So Malt Max, I am, unfortunately, Brendan, I'm kind of a little bit upset to tell you that you are, in fact, the fifth person to send in Malt Maxes. And Thomas Saar, hello to you, Thomas. He sent Malt Maxes in at the end of December, also from a rapid antigen test. So they've been sent out a few times before, so that's not a
right,
new player.
Right, okay. Well, we didn't read that one out, so we didn't realise that there was a UV light that
included... The
problem
is we can't get to all of them. We can't get to all of them. We can do what we can.
Hello to Malcolm. Hello to the Luke and Pete. Got a couple of batteries for you. Found in some old TV controls that my parents have kept for who knows the fuck why. HCell and Defiant. Fingers crossed, they're new. Love the show. From Peterborough, Canada. That was Malcolm.
Malcolm Bridges, hello to you, Malcolm. Unfortunately, you are not a new player either.
Oh, Bridges.
Anirada, hello to you. Anirada has sent some in on the 25th of October. Mm. Interestingly enough, Malcolm sent the HCLs in on January 6th.
Yeah.
Right? Some commemoration of the Capitol riot, perhaps. and Steve Peck sent them in on the 13th, a week later. So they are a hot battery of the moment, but they are not new players because Anirada sent them in before.
Are we preeminent experts in battery placement?
I
think this is a data set that we could sell.
I think it really is.
Sell. Joke.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. Kevin Brody. Brady? Brady. Has come in with this. I'm hoping to balance the inching sense of doom from the battery-powered travesties. Bought for our first daughter with the tantalising prospect of a new player entering the game. I found these new leader, triple A's, in a weird musical cat toy.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't know, there's no way to break this to Kevin, but he is the 11th person to send in new leaders. People who've also sent them in include Paul. Hello to you, Paul. Paul Ardis, Anthony McLaughlin, Jack Keywood. Loads of people have sent them in the past. So I'm afraid that is also not a new player. We've had like a weird influx of new leader AAAs sent in since Christmas. Mm. I think what's probably happened is a load of toy manufacturers have done a deal with new leader and got them all put in their Christmas toys, maybe. What do you reckon?
It probably would be that, wouldn't it?
It's an interesting pattern.
Yeah.
So no new players today. That's how it goes sometimes. Mm. Tune in this time next week for more of this kind of thing.
We're closing the book on our battery epidemiology for another week.
Yeah.
But do get in touch. Hello to Kia Halaji says podcasters that I have access to. One evening during my uni days in Portsmouth around 2009, I went to help set up for a gig that my friend's band was putting on in Eastney, Where the hell is Eastleigh?
Eastleigh is a part of Portsmouth. I'm going to say it is less than salubrious.
Okie dokie. Yeah. For some reason, the proprietor of the establishment assumed I was just there for a free handout and told me to piss off until doors opened later on. Luke will probably attest to the fact that there isn't exactly loads going on in Eastleigh, and he has.
Well, I can agree with that.
So I waited for a couple of other mates to arrive, and we headed to a very local-looking pub on the other side of the road. It was run by a very sweet husband and wife pair. They were even kind enough not to laugh at me and my mates ordering some fruity ciders because we didn't really love the taste of beer. We had a great chat with them, heard all about their kids and dogs and how the business was going. By the time the gig started across the road, we hardly wanted to leave, but they said they'd be open late and we should bring some friends over for a nightcap once the gig was finished. We left, the gig came and went, and after regaling our pals with stories of this very sweet couple, we all agreed to adjourn back across the road for a nightcap and more stories. As we approached the door, we felt something in the air had shifted.
It happens in Portsmouth, that. It does
exactly
happen.
Yeah, when night falls, you just got to get out of Dodge.
On the flip of a coin, in my experience.
Maybe it was the 80s disco vibe lights we could see through the window. Maybe it was the heavy metal blaring out the door. Or maybe it was the many motorbikes parked up outside. But we went in anyway. Turns out the owners were big in the local biking community. And evidently the community decided to get together for a big night. The looks of confusion on the faces of these leather-clad Jaeger chuggers will always stick with me. Turns out they found it very amusing that these shy young men had crashed their party, and therefore we didn't have to buy a drink all night. As the Jaeger and Sambuca flowed, good God, we were starting to have the time of our young lives. What lovely people these bikers were. So misunderstood. Gentle giants. And then from behind us, we felt an enormous wave of heat. We turned around to see the owners behind the bar with giant aerosol can flamethrowers, which, as you can imagine, was greeted with great cheers from the crowds of hugely inebriated bikers. As the flames danced overhead, I turned to one of my mates and we exchanged a terrified glance and a slight nod of the head, and we promptly grabbed our coats and pegged it home. Honestly, one of the strangest nights of my life that I hadn't thought about until recent chat on the pod. Yours in batteries, flamethrowers and everything in between, Kia in Shanghai. Fan. It's the sort of story you'd expect in Shanghai, to be quite frank, and I've been to Shanghai.
The way he says wrote that is like he never stopped running until he got to Shanghai. That's how scared he was. Those kind of nights out are the best, and I love the idea that part of the reason I love doing the show is because what we talk about, which is basically just completely unplanned nonsense, It stimulates something in people's mind when they go, oh, I've got something on that.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that. I'm going to write about it. And that's what it's all about. So I love to hear that. And I also love the undercurrent to this, which is that some of the best nights that you ever have are ones where they just go in a direction that you don't expect. Now, I can fully admit that's also some of the worst nights. Like, you know,
they can turn on a penny, like you said.
They can. I remember being out with a few mates and we were out on a shortcut from one pub to another, I think, or we were doing something. And we ended up getting over, we jumped over a little, literally a 2 foot high fence.
Yeah.
Right. And because it was dark and we were in single file, the first three people jumped over it. Mate, it was in front of me, didn't see it, tripped over it, split his chin wide open.
Oh, dear.
So a couple of us had to spend basically the whole night in A&E.
That's annoying.
Feeling terrible because you've caused problems for A&E when you didn't need to because you've been drunk and silly, and the night's gone to shit. On the other hand, it can sometimes go like that.
Correct.
I think Key is secretly very happy about that night. I know he said he gets terrified towards the end, but I reckon he had a lovely old time.
I think it's a lovely story, and I very much enjoyed it, to be quite frank. So well done him.
Completely agree. Let's squeeze an email from James in before we go, very, very briefly, who has followed up on the chat we had earlier this week or last week, I can't remember, about eating insects. Pete, remember that?
Yes.
He says, morning, Luke and Pete. Just to give you some more information regarding bug meat replacements, and specifically you asked how many bugs would be needed in comparison to, say, a cow for food. The average cow weighs 720 kilos, and the average locust weighs 2 grams. So you would need 360,000 locusts to replicate the actual size of a cow, but there is an important distinction to make here.
Mm.
You would need fewer locusts to make a burger, for example, because the nutritional value and filling up effect is significantly better than traditional meats. The protein, vitamin and fibre content of insects is better than most meats also, so you would need to be reducing the amount you needed to eat while at the same time improving the quality of the food intake. However, even in like-for-like size comparisons, locust swarm sizes can vary between 4 and 8 billion. So if a burger is 500 grams in size, you would need 1,000 locusts, and swarms that size would provide 4 million to 8 million burgers. McDonald's sell around 230 million burgers per year, so we'd need at least about 30 swarms of locusts for an equivalent amount. Hope that helps. He's thought about this a lot, hasn't he?
I think
there's a couple of things. First of all, 720 kilograms for a cow, it's not all meat.
No, and there's hooves. You don't eat the hooves.
James, why are you not thinking about the hooves?
Get rid of the hooves and the fur. You don't eat the fur, do you?
Is there fur on a cow?
Yeah, they're furry,
like
aren't they?
It's like hair, isn't it? Not fur. Is it that furry
fur
cow?
And hair?
You get like woolly cows.
Sorry,
like Aberdeen Angus cows.
When you say hairy cow, look at that hairy cow.
You would say that. That's what they call them in Scotland.
Hairy cows.
Aberdeen Angus cows with the hair and the horns. Hairy cows, they call them that.
Furry cows.
No.
We've got hair, they've got fur. They're incorrect.
Pete, you are the first person in history to ever say furry cow.
But hairy, why do cows get gifted with hair and we get
gifted
with hair and then why not fur? It's fur. Like, it's not long hair, is it?
Leather.
It's leather. Exactly, because we're obsessed with the skin. Weirdos.
But what do you think about James's emails? Because the issue here is probably that people don't want to eat locusts, right?
No, yeah.
So a locust is quite big. So if it's a locust, are we automatically assuming that if we are to pivot to eating insects, people are going to eat the entirety of the locust? Or is it like a portion of it that you eat that's actually nice?
I think
what?
It's just hard to kind of, you know, like whenever I sort of order a prawn, I don't order a single prawn, that'd be mental, but like you've got to like peel it and stuff. It's just like, Jesus, just make sure you peel it before.
My
I
heart
get to
sinks
it.
If it comes over full.
It's just like, what's the point?
If it comes over whole, my heart sinks.
And I'll eat it and I'll have left a little poo trail. And I'm going, yeah. Rubbish.
But
rubbish.
We were in Portugal once and they were saying to pour out all the insides of the prawn and mix it in because it tastes nicer. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember.
Remember
that
in Portugal?
At all.
Do you remember at that seafood place, you and I?
That
people
cave
as well.
Went to a cave.
Pete, we went to that really rough and ready but really delicious like seafood place and they brought out maybe you weren't there.
Why did they need to explain to how to eat prawns to you?
No, I just think that people they probably regularly encountered customers who would just eat the prawn bit.
Yeah, it's abroad.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Maybe you weren't there, maybe you came the year after, the day after or something.
I'm not eating the head.
But anyway.
Gross.
Thanks for your email about locusts, James. That's what this show's all about as well, so we really appreciate that. We've run out of time for today.
Yeah.
But we will, of course, be back on Monday, so do check out Monday's episode as well when it drops. hello@lukeandpeacher.com is the email address. We'd love to hear from you there. We are @LukeandPeacher on Twitter and Instagram. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a nice review and tell all your pals, because we like as many people as possible to hear. There's a big back catalogue that people can immerse themselves in, and we'd love them to do so. So thank you very much for listening. Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me as well. See you on Monday.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.